We live in a fantasy world now. Reality has been destroyed.
This is the time that we really need to pay attention.
The probabilities are overwhelmingly on gold's side.
That is the best environment to see gold increase its value.
Welcome to Palisades Gold Radio. I'm your host, Tom Bodrovics. Joining me today is Kevin Wadsworth and Patrick Grimm from NorthstarBadCharts.com. How are you today, Kev?
Great to see you. Good to be here again.
Pat?
Hi, Tom.
Great to have you guys. So we're going to base today's discussion around a video that you posted the other day, Kevin, about the alarming charts that you wanted to give everybody some perspective on. And Patrick, I wanted to do, you know, kind of a group video to really fill out that whole, you know, section of charts basically and add some color to them. So why don't we start seeing your charts here, Kev, and we'll go through them here.
Yeah, sure. Okay, let's take a dive into the world of technical chart analysis then and see why I'm somewhat concerned about the events that are starting to be reflected in the technical chart analysis. So here we just wanted to touch on a forecast that we issued in 2019, Tom. It's really to just hammer home the point that technical chart analysis isn't some kind of voodoo witchcraft that me and Patrick are doing in our basements. It's you know, it's actually quite a scientific process. My background in meteorology sort of analyzing the atmosphere around planet Earth and all that kind of stuff, you know, atmospheric dynamics, actually has quite a lot of similarities to predicting the future with these movements in stocks and shares and precious metals and currencies and everything else. So the chart there on the top left-hand corner, that's the gold forecast that I issued in 2019. Mm-hmm. And the points to notice are the arc pattern, the geometric arc was so perfect. And it was quite easy to draw the horizontal line at the previous all-time highs and then to look at some of the smaller time cycles and figure just how the price was going to climb the right-hand side of that arc there. And so the target was clearly the previous all-time highs. And after that, it makes a lot of sense to have a pullback, a handle of some form or some description. You can see I've put on there some sort of bullish pattern followed by breakout to new highs. Mm-hmm. And using various sort of technical analysis techniques and weight of evidence, it was possible to estimate the size of the pullback and the length of the pullback that was most likely. So I was forecasting a breakout in 2022 to new all-time highs. And of course, looking at what happened on the chart there, the lower chart, that's exactly what happened. And we were able to use this roadmap as time went by through 2019, 2020, 2021, to guide our investment decisions. And just to zoom out and kind of have an overall view as to whether everything that we were expecting was still on track. Because, of course, you know, if you're following a map and you wander off the path, you need to be aware of your surroundings. You need to be able to pick out some landmarks around you and actually realize that you've gone off the track. And then find your way back onto the right track. So that's really how we do our technical analysis and why we do our technical analysis. Mm-hmm. Now turning to why I'm alarmed, those that follow me on Twitter, social media, and also on our website will be aware of the fact that last year, during the fall of last year, the autumn of last year, I started to spot some disturbing signs with energy here in the UK. And it's also the same across the European Union and many other parts of the world, I suppose, by now. But I noticed that UK-based electricity prices were breaking out to new all-time highs. And they quite quickly took off and away to the upside. We now find ourselves in a position where we've moved up 1,400% in a little over 18 months, actually. And we're 400% above previous known highs. So just, you know, pause and think about what that means for a second. At the time, what I said several months ago was that if this reverses back down and comes crashing back down, then that's fine. It's just some kind of isolated spike. But if it stays up here for 2, 4, 6 months, then we've got a serious problem because that those energy costs are then being fed into downstream. We're going to have downstream issues with that. So you know, instead of the energy suppliers being able to absorb this cost, we've got a big problem with it being passed on to the consumer and into the producer price index and everything else for that matter. And this isn't just inflationary, it's, you know, it's hyperinflationary. Look at natural gas futures in the UK. You know, you might think a move of 100%, 200%, 300% is, you know, is perhaps a little bit unusual. Well, you know, we've moved up over 4,500% in the last couple of years, and admittedly, that's from a very low starting point. So, you know, more importantly, I suppose, is that we're 300% above previous known highs. So we haven't just made new all-time highs; we're 300% above that. This is a big problem as well. You can see that as price broke out, it formed a little bit of a zigzaggy flag pattern before it then accelerated away to the upside again. Whilst that process was actually taking place, I pointed out that if this resolves to the upside, then something really bad is happening here. You know, obviously at the time I didn't know what it was or what it was going to be, but this was already telling us, the charts were already telling us that some kind of situation was developing globally that was going to be painful. It was before the Russia and Ukraine situation, of course, which, as I should have pointed out, in fact, back on the gold chart there, the breakout in 2022, you know, absolutely no idea back in 2019 that the current political situation was going to develop in Eastern Europe. So you tell me, you know, is it Russia-Ukraine that's causing this, or actually, you know, Russia-Ukraine is a byproduct of what the chart was already telling us 3 years ago. So that's something else just to pause and think about. You know, the events that are taking place now, the events that are pretty much unstoppable and have been unstoppable for several years, are all part of a much, much bigger picture that to some extent is out of our hands. US producer price index.
Before you continue there, Kev, that's worth kind of underlining and thinking about the broader ramifications of this. Obviously, we've seen this massive price rise. And then if you add on top the Russia-Ukraine situation with the gas and energy that they're importing, that looks to be, you know, another factor that's going to keep pushing this higher, is it not?
Yeah, it's a question of what is leading what here. You know, it's a chicken and egg situation. And myself and Pat always take the view that the chart is giving us the clues long before the real world cottons on and something happens to confirm it. And I'll give you a real-time live example of that. And I may live to regret this, but the US dollar index is in a very interesting situation. In fact, I'll leave it till the end of this presentation, actually, because I have got a chart for the US dollar index just a little bit later on. So I'll just you know, remind me of this if I forget. But just as this chart was predicting something, I think the US dollar chart is similarly and predicting something and has been for quite some time now. So I'll touch on that a little bit later on. But yes, you're right. I mean, real world events are what I suppose the general population focus on is, oh, well, that's what's causing it. That's, you know, that's the cause. That's why oil's going up. That's why gas is going up. That's why precious metals are going up, because of the conflict in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. But that actually, in my view and Pat's view, I think, is completely wrong. And this has been set in motion quite some time ago now. The charts were telling us this was going to happen. So kind of, it's almost kind of a case that the chart was going to do it regardless. We just need a narrative, something was going to break out in the real world that was going to kind of go along with it and kind of fulfill that story, if you want to sort of view it that way.
Yeah. Tom, look, the first chart of Kevin is the one, it's for me, that's the key. It's the gold chart. Mm-hmm. The gold chart opens, like the more we research this, the more we deep dive this, gold opened the gateways for all that's happening here. Gold sniffed out whatever macro you want to call it, inflation, US dollar inflation adjusted, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. It permitted gold breaking out in June of 2019, way before all of this stuff, way before all these commodity charts broke out. It opened the gateways for all these to start spiking up, because whatever gold's reacting to eventually will seep through electricity, gas, like wherever it is, wherever maybe there's a conflict that is a catalyst, mm-hmm. whatever the narrative is, the gateways are open now for all this craziness, that all the charge, the PPI, all that stuff. Gold opened the gateways back in June of 2019.
Yeah, it's always interesting to kind of think about, and then let's say try to, you know, trying to come up with all these explanations for why gold did this or why gold did that. You know, hindsight is always 20/20, and looking at when gold broke out, you know, I've had some guests on the show say, well, gold started to sniff out the inflation and adjusted for it before it actually happened, right? And, you know, it's hard to really put a causation on what happened to it, but that's why I like adding the technical analysis piece to it, regardless of if you think it's voodoo or witchcraft or total BS. You can kind of take this purely data-driven point, or just look at the data, what's happening there, and that gives you clues to what the future could hold, right?
Well, it does. And by the price breaking out as it did in 2019, it activated the target. You have to cross that red line on the chart there where you have that 10-year base. Crossing that red horizontal line activated the target at the previous all-time highs. That target became active at that point, and the price very quickly moved up to it. Mm-hmm. And then once it hits that level, then what happens is the pullback becomes activated. Because you've hit that level, you need some time to digest it. That was a big move from, you know, the area around $1,300 to $1,400 up to mm-hmm. over $2,000. You know, stuff was getting stretched at that point. Energy was, running out. Momentum was running out. So you have to pause and get your breath back. You know, it's like just running up a hill. You can't just keep running up a hill forever. You know, it reaches a point where you need to pause and catch your breath. That's exactly what gold has done. You know, the markets work in exactly the same way as human beings do, unsurprisingly, because the markets are, you know, driven by human beings. So our behavior
it's a byproduct of our behavior.
It is, exactly. It's a reflection of human behavior. So getting back to
on that theme too, Kev, the silver chart we're going to look at, I believe, is a good explanation of the exact same thing. And then showing, you know, once that cup and handle is built, where we could proceed from there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And putting this into context now, it's becoming clearer and clearer where this is all going. Mm-hmm. The US producer price index formed a wedge formation between 2004 and around about 2020 or thereabouts, 2021. So you can see quite a large multi-year consolidation taking place there. And it's just, you know, bust out to the upside almost vertically there. So that is a reflection of everything that we've been talking about, you know, the rising energy costs, the world around us, the paradigm shifts that are taking place. I haven't really mentioned that word before, but it just means a change from one state of being to another state of being, a paradigm shift from one regime to another. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're seeing now unfolding in front of our eyes, is a complete changing of the guard in many, many respects, which we'll go on to fairly shortly. But also reflected in all of this, of course, is the oil price. I don't want to linger too much on this. I think Pat's going to talk about commodities a little bit more and some specific charts. But of course, the global oil price is going to be very, very relevant going forwards as well. And we've burst through that 115 level. I haven't actually checked today to see where it is today, but that 115 level is going to be important for the quarterly close. Of course, March is a quarterly close. So closing above 115 activates the 147 target. And the reaction at 147 is going to be really, really interesting, because if 147 becomes support, then that is further confirmation of a paradigm shift, where we establish a new support level, which was resistance, now support. And then going forwards from there, that sets up the base for moves considerably higher, mm-hmm. potentially.
We're back down to 116 today, but we're a little bit ahead of when we're going to release this, but yeah, it's quite telling to see, like you say, that breakout point, right?
Absolutely, yeah. That 115 level is what's going to be important for the quarterly close. And just wanting to put some historic context in this, the German PPI chart, which I've been following for for a while now. I think I started posting this one around about October time last year when I happened to stumble on it and noticed that we were at truly historic levels. You can see the post-World War II peak in German producer price index, and that was as a result, of course, of the rebuilding of Germany after the devastating effects of World War II. And then we have the 1970s inflationary crisis and oil crisis and everything that everybody seems to remember in the 1970s, where things went nuts and interest rates went through the roof, and there was a lot of pain involved there. But look where we are now. You know, this is beyond the 1970s crisis. It's even beyond the post-World War II situation, and we're into something that just isn't, you know, it's truly unprecedented. So when you start to realize that, you know, major indices like this are in unprecedented territory, is it a big stretch to expect commodities to move into unprecedented territory? If you start talking about huge numbers for gold, silver, platinum, copper, you know, nickel.
I was just going to say nickel.
wheat, you know, I mean, it suddenly seems a lot more reasonable when you look at a chart like this to, you know, it'd almost be kind of, you know, sort of arrogant to think that you weren't going to be getting, you know, record-breaking, unprecedented levels across the commodity sector. So you know, you have to flip it on its head. You know, we're not being, if you talk about some very large numbers for gold and silver, you know, if you weren't talking about those numbers, you would be ignoring reality. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you don't want to get caught out ignoring reality. You'd be on the wrong side of the trade, and you'll miss what could be the opportunity of a lifetime, or at the very least an opportunity to avoid seeing your hard-earned savings turn to dust.
Mm-hmm. I had a thought on that chart, Kev.
Yeah.
Those are rate of change. That's like inflation rate. It's a yearly percentage change. So it's not going negative. So we're going up 24%, 25%, but that's a plateau after that, right? Because it's from like the previous chart. It keeps going up forever. So things are costing more and more forever and ever. And that's like just showing the acceleration in change. And like, it's just mind boggling there that,
Well, one thing I was thinking about, guys, that's I think worth mentioning here is that a lot of the commodities that we're looking at are priced in US dollars. And when we think about the broader theme, the broader picture for the US dollar, you know, just continuing to lose purchasing power, and then, you know, the continuing erosion and momentum of that move, I think it's important to kind of keep in mind that when we look at these charts, it's not one static measuring stick by which everything else is measured, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, bearing in mind the inflationary effects and the jostling positions of global currencies as well, of course, you know, competing global currencies, the euro, the US dollar, the yen, you know, they fluctuate in the rate at which they're trending towards zero. I mean, they're all trending towards zero, every single one of them. You know, you look at this chart here, if you imagine a line drawn at zero right the way across, the amount of time the chart spends above zero greatly outweighs the amount of time the chart spends below zero. Mm-hmm. So that's another way of saying that the currency is eroding away rapidly with time. The cumulative effect of that is to turn your $10 bill into $9, $8, $7, $6. Mm-hmm. You know, 50 years ago, what would have $1 have bought you, and now what does $1 buy you? You know, that's the simple way of representing how currency devalues over time. So they're all fluctuating in their relative rates that they're being affected by inflation or deflation, you know, at different times inflation and deflation, but they're all trending down the U-bend on the pivot.
Yeah, and you have a good chart to really visualize that as well, right?
Yeah, so I do. So this is the DXY. Mm-hmm. It's the US dollar index, and of course you have to remember that it's an index of the US dollar versus a basket of other currencies, principally the euro, the yen, and the British pound. If memory serves me, the euro is close to 60% of the dollar index, mm-hmm. and the yen and the pound are a little over 10% each, I think. Don't quote me on that, but that, those kind of figures. So this is the dollar index since the 1980s here. It does actually go back further, of course, but that spike on the left-hand side of the chart goes up to 160 on the full view. But what I realized the other day is that as the US dollar came off the gold standard back in the early 1970s, it caused a spike. The US dollar index spiked up to 160. And that spike, if you draw this resistance line to try and achieve the maximum number of touches, it slices straight through that spike. And up until now, I've always had a problem with that. And I've always tried to draw this upper resistance line to that spike. And if you do that, it means that the current price action has broken out of the wedge. But then I suddenly realized, hang on a minute, you know, this beach ball held under the water effect. It, you know, in the early 1970s, the US dollar had a chance to free float against global currencies. Gold was allowed to find its value as well at that point. So what happened is they spiked. After a little bit of consolidating and pulling back, they spiked very rapidly to the upside, and the momentum carried them way. They actually went parabolic at the peak in 1980. So that parabolic sort of ending peak isn't representative at all of where the dollar index and gold actually should have been at that point in time. So if you actually use a scientific line of best fit, this is what you get. And it's actually quite revealing, because it means that the dollar index is now hitting the resistance line rather than having broken through it a number of years ago, back in around about 2013 or so. And on top of that, we've got a bearish rising wedge, the little dotted lines there rising up to the solid line. But more importantly, just cast your eye to the bottom, the rate of change. That's a 7-year rate of change indicator. So it's a constantly updated graph, point on the graph, where it shows you the cumulative result of all the price action of the previous 7 years. So in other words, what it's saying at the moment is it's just around about or just below zero. So comparing now to 7 years ago, the US dollar index is at the same level. Okay, so it's moved up and it's moved back down, and the net result of all of that is that it's back at zero. But from an analysis point of view, just look at the breakouts of those wedges. There's a wedge there with the dotted lines that sort of terminates around about the year 2000. You can see the dollar index broke out of it to the upside, that first green arrow. What was the rate of change indicator doing at that time? It was rising and passing up through the zero line. Take a look at 2014-15 there. We broke out again. That's the second green arrow pointing upwards. What was the rate of change indicator doing at that time? It was rising and it's passing up through the zero line. Now, look at the first red arrow. Okay, what was the rate of change indicator doing at that point? It was falling and passing below zero. Now, take a look at where we are today. What is the rate of change indicator doing? Well, it's falling and it's passing through zero. So it's not doing what it needs to do to break to the upside. It's actually doing what it needs to do to break to the downside. And in fact, the rate of change value is minus 0.11. So we have already passed down below the zero line. That's a very, very strong piece of evidence to suggest, along with the bearish rising wedge and the resistance line that I've drawn there, that leads us to believe that the US dollar index here is going to resolve down, and not just down a little bit, but down a lot. Now, this is where the narrative comes in, because what we were talking about before and the gold chart, this is a little bit like me drawing the gold chart in 2019 and everyone telling me, no, what are you doing, Kevin? You know, the gold price is going to go down to $1,000. It's going to go down to $800. You know, mm-hmm. Henrik Zeberg or whatever on Twitter telling me I was talking garbage. But you know, this is the same kind of thing. I know a lot of people have this narrative about whatever theory it is, US dollar index going up to 120, 140, 160, milkshake this and whatever that. So you know, fine. You know, if it breaks out to the upside and we get a monthly close above the resistance line here, then, you know, obviously the roadmap needs to be looked at and reconsidered. But based on this evidence here, you know, I'm strongly of the view that we're going to see this moving down. Of course, March is a quarterly close. So if we get the quarterly close below this resistance line, then I'm pretty sure the US dollar is in some serious trouble. Yeah. Don't ask me why. Don't ask me what the narrative is going to be. Maybe Russia announces something, China announces something, goodness knows. But, you know, you can spend a lot of time trying to cook up a narrative, but the chart tells you all you need to know. I was going to say something.
As Canadians, we should say timber.
For the Canadian dollar too. Well, you know, thinking about that chart too, you know, Canada's currency is very dependent on all of our resources. And, you know, thinking about the current situation, our resources are being basically completely blocked and stifled. So it's interesting to try and think about that.
The currency commodities too are showing some relative strength as well. I mean, look at the US, sorry, not the US, the Australian dollar versus the US dollar. Is actually very close to breaking out. It did actually break out a few days ago. It's just sort of pulled back a bit and then moved up again a little bit, but it's very close to breaking out. And the euro dollar chart is also in a bullish descending wedge, just sitting on top of its breakout line. So they're both beautifully poised in textbook chart positions to break out against the dollar, which is of course what you'd expect. If the dollar index is going to go down, then the euro dollar chart has to break to the upside. But even more revealing is the US dollar when you adjust it for inflation. Mm-hmm. So this is DXY over the producer price index for all commodities in the United States. And, well, first thing to notice is that it's just an ever-decreasing channel heading down and down and down and down. So there's no long-term uptrend in this, and you wouldn't expect any because you know, it's inflation is constant. You know, as long as inflation and stuff around you is rising at anything above zero, then this thing is going to trend to the downside, and it's going to keep trending to the downside. So whilst you get temporary slight pauses where you know, the rate of inflation decreases, taken over multiple years, the effects of inflation are clear to see in this chart. So inflation adjusted US dollar breaking or heading, you know, ever downwards. But also look at the rate of change indicator and look at what it's showing you. It's showing you
pattern there. I was just going to say the beautiful cyclical patterns again.
Yeah, I mean, you can't escape noticing, you can't avoid noticing just how beautifully cyclical this, you know, the nature of this chart is, with a regular up cycle, down cycle, up, down. And the point to note, again, is the breakdown and the breakout points. You know, so in the 1980s there, the breakdown point is shown by a little red sort of circle there on the rate of change indicator. And you can see that the rate of change, once it broke down decisively below zero, then the US dollar index adjusted for inflation just tumbled away. Something else to notice as well, which is might find interesting, maybe not, I don't know, but is that think about when gold peaks. So gold peaks, the last gold peak, of course, was 2011. So it's around about 3 years after the rate of change indicator bottomed in the US dollar index inflation adjusted. And that's also the case for the US dollar index, by the way. If you go back to the US dollar index, you can look at the point where the US dollar index bottomed in 2008, and the next bottom in 2000, and that'd be 2011, was actually higher. So in that 3 year period after the dollar index reached its low, gold actually carried on rising. So gold went up after the 2008 sort of 8 year cycle low in gold, and it went up for another 3 years into 2011, whilst the dollar index itself spiked up and spiked all the way back down again. And that's when that down spike is when gold peaked, even though the US dollar index didn't make a new low. That's something people don't always appreciate. So you can see where we are at the moment with the 7-year rate of change, very, very decisively broken down, much more decisively than on the non-inflation adjusted chart. So non-inflation adjusted, you can see that we're just now starting to cross the zero line. But when you adjust for inflation, we've made a much more decisive break below the zero line. So it's a leading indicator that is going to, I believe, cause the US dollar index to head south. And just look at the moves that we've seen in gold over the last few days and weeks. I mean, we've moved, what, $300, I suppose, in the last several months, I think, since last sort of August, September time, when we were down around about $1,700. We've seen a move of $300, and the dollar index during that period has been moving up. You can see there, the US dollar index has moved up. So gold has moved up with the dollar index. Now, that's telling us something important. Gold has been sniffing something out since the middle of last year, or since August, September last year. And
the relative strength of gold is interesting to see despite the dollar rising. So once the dollar starts to fall, it'll be interesting to see how gold reacts to that and kind of how it makes up for that fall too.
Well, yeah. So we're also watching the gold-silver ratio as well, which is showing some weakness and starting to show some indications of breaking down. So all of these pieces of evidence are starting to come together now in a coherent story. And this is the really important part, is not just looking at one chart in isolation. You have to look at multiple charts across multiple sectors, currencies, commodities, precious metals, and put all of the pieces of the puzzle, all the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle together to build a valid thesis. And all of this, is leading to the conclusion that dollar index is going to turn down, and the likely effect of that is to give a real boost to what is already a developing gold and silver bull market. Mm-hmm. So when this is clear to everybody that the dollar index is breaking down, then you better buckle up for an incredible move, I would say.
And it's interesting too, Kev, I think that when we look at that rate of change chart, once it breaks through that zero line, it doesn't really tend to bounce back off of it.
No. And I should give a hat tip here as well to Michael Oliver, by the way. We've spoken to Michael Oliver on our show, myself and Patrick, and his sort of work on the rate of change indicator and momentum, structural momentum indicators. It's really kind of sort of led the use of this particular technique, and it's something that I know me and Patrick are finding really, really useful as an added layer of evidence in our charting technique. So,
you can add Blackbeard, because Michael is from Moving Average, but he does a TA on the distance from Moving Average, the structure, and Blackbeard, the 7-year rate of change. I picked that up from him there, and I think he picked it up from Jesus. I keep forgetting.
You can actually, so what Pat Saw is describing there is you can actually put the 36-month moving average onto the rate of change. So when the rate of change moves above its own 36-month moving average, it shows you very clearly where there's a breakout, and then conversely when there's a breakdown. Mm-hmm. So by combining indicators along with the price action and the actual technical analysis itself, you build a really, really strong evidence case for the idea that you're either going to be moving up or moving down over the coming weeks and months. So definitely Blackbeard and Michael Oliver is a couple of good, very good chart technicians as well there. So that's my little piece done. I think Pat is going to pick up with some particular charts. So what I'll do, I think, here is probably stop sharing my screen if I can, and let Pat take over.
You did all the hard work, Kevin. They're all softened up now. They have to believe my charts now. They have to.
Go on then. Show us your screen, Pat. Let's see what you've got to give.
Okay, share. Okay, guys. All right. So let's start from the start, guys. right now, we're just going to zoom in now on like more actionable charts. We know the setup, the momentum, the 7-year rate of change. We know there's a huge bunch of inflation that's going to knock down the US dollar. But for the gold and the silver bugs, here's the XAU. The XAU is the gold and silver index, or I think maybe just the gold miners, Kev. Is it a XAU? Is it?
I can't remember. It's gold and silver miners.
Right?
Yeah.
And guys, this is the monthly chart, racial chart. They're super useful because you know that when you're outperforming an asset, that chart, you want to be in that asset. So when the gold and silver miners are outperforming gold, you know it's game on. But guys, look at this beautiful downtrend. As long as you're below that 3-year moving average, you don't want to be there. But as soon as you had that wake-up call, then, okay, something's happening. There's a change. Momentum goes sideways for many years, guys. And that's where, guys, I've been in gold miners. They suck. I know. You're right, guys. They have. If you bought a 2011, 10, 12, of course it sucks holding all that time. But lucky followers of Palisade Radio now, they get to see this chart and they get to see whole month. All the hard work, it's already been done. We're out of this downwards Ichimoku cloud resistance. We're out of this early breakout line. We've just backtested it over 18 months, guys. You save all that time. And now you're just bouncing off the 3-year moving average and you're heading towards the final breakout line where we've seen in TA happen over and over again is what we call reverse symmetry moves. It went down so fast, not a lot of buyers on the way down. So there's not many bag holders that bought at these price levels, right? Or if they did, they all sold during that base. And as soon as you close above this final breakout line, you should have a almost perfect reverse symmetry move, a 56 degree angle going upwards. And so you know that as soon as you close above that line, guys, your gold miners are going to outperform gold that much more. So this is like probably the last greatest time to get in gold miners and silver miners. Until this breaks out. If it fails and it goes back below 3-year moving average, then you take that, you go back to the drawing board. But that's telling you that the opportunity cost right now is really, really diminished. And the odds are of gold miners and silver miners outperforming gold. It's right on your footsteps, guys. Here, I decided to measure silver in minimum US minimum wage. So usually we price it in US dollar. But I was trying to see minimum wage. I kind of call this the pitchfork chart. So minimum wage is what people, they're like their money that's coming in day after day. And if the minimum wage can't catch up with silver, that means you're just getting killed. So your purchasing power, the amount of stuff you could actually buy is diminishing. And man, look, silver's outperforming since the March lows, minimum wages. You see it here, here's a rate of change. This is a quarterly chart. So 28 to period rate of change is a 7-year rate of change. I have the 7-year EMA exponential moving average on top of that, a little bit like Kevin was talking about. He was talking about the 36 months. I just put the 7-year. And silver's just broke out versus minimum wage. So guys, if you're getting paid minimum wage right now, this is telling you that as soon as your money comes in, you're not making enough money to keep up with all the inflation that silver's pricing in, all the decrease in purchasing power that silver's pricing in. Your minimum wage is not able to catch up to that. And that's a time that you should be converting every single US dollar, not financial advice, but you should be converting all your cash into silver to at least protect your wages from getting destroyed by inflation. I did the same one for gold, guys. And gold, I don't know where it's going to be by the end of the month, by the end of the quarter, like super important close. But gold has been protecting more your purchasing power than the government via minimum wages. So the government could raise the minimum wages as much as they want, but unless they raise it so much that this ratio starts going down, they're not raising it fast enough, guys. And you're falling behind. So people holding gold will have better purchasing power protected, while those getting paid minimum wage, they're actually losing purchasing power, guys. And it's kind of nasty. Since 2000, minimum wage has not been keeping up with inflation. And we've kind of noticed that, like, oh, guys, look, I can't. Houses went up 4 times, but my salary didn't go up 4 times, right? You hear that over and over. So this is kind of mind-boggling. that that's happening. So, and look at that, guys, just some more TA on the rate of change, just to show you the cycles. Whenever we had a breakout above the negative line for the 7-year rate of change, we've had 7 years of this, of gold outperforming minimum wage. And then when it gold peaked versus minimum wage, then you have a 7-year where you had peak momentum all the way until peak bottom. Mm-hmm. Back in 2004, same thing, breakout above the zero line, breakout above the 7-year EMA, explosion, 7-year rate of change until we reach peak right here, there's a wick, peak gold versus minimum wage. And then we had a perfect 7 years for that momentum to completely unwound. Guys, look where we are today. We're right back here, man. History is repeating again. Mm-hmm. So minimum wage will not be enough. Gold, even if minimum wage goes up, gold seemingly will go up faster than what minimum wage should go. So you know you're still early, guys, in the cycle. So I'm expecting another 7 years of bullish price action for gold versus minimum wage just by looking at the cycles. I did hear the inverse of the chart. So here is minimum wage priced in gold. And you kind of see the same type of relationship right here, guys. When this ratio breaks down, you have a whole bunch of time. You have 7 years for that to unwind that momentum. And right now it's just getting going. So until 2027, you're still better holding gold than relying on the government raising the minimum wage to protect your quality of living, guys. And yeah, that I could take a deep breath there, but it comes back to Kevin's chart. This is like super scary stuff because there's a rift being created right in front of our eyes. Each time we've had these cycles, the lower class or whoever's getting paid minimum wage is getting squished, right? They're getting distanced from making their lifestyle harder and harder to maintain.
And again, I think it's worth adding there, Patrick, that, you know, obviously people that are making minimum wage are probably have a lot, you know, harder things to think about than buying gold and silver at this time. They're trying to, you know, put gas in their car, but you know, it's just an interesting comparison to make, you know, versus inflation, right?
It's so tough because you're right. Because if you don't have any money to leverage into protecting your asset, you're kind of trapped, right? Because of your household budget, everything's going into rent, food, gas. There's nothing left to, so you're kind of trapped. You're getting squished and you have almost no hopes of getting out of it. Unless the government starts raising your wages or inflation is subdued or something like, or, and so either or, you know,
we're going to go to MMT and UBI. It's fine.
Oh, geez. Well, it's heading there, right?
What were you going to add there, Kevin?
I was just going to say that, you know, these cycles that are repeating, and we're on the third one since the 1970s, it does reach a point after a while where the cumulative effect of previous cycles is going to have, I don't know how to put it, there will be a breaking point.
Yeah.
And it's starting to feel like we're hurtling towards that at the moment. And, you know, this challenge that is quite possible for the US dollar as global reserve currency, and clearly what's happening with Russia and the moves that they're making, and we don't know what China's going to be doing yet. So, you know, the charts are looking scary, and combined with, you know, what's going on in the background, it does just give you a little bit of a sense that we could be close to, you know, this cycle could be the one that brings about that major, as I say, paradigm shift that happens once every, or not even once every human lifetime. You know, a global reserve currency lasts longer than that. So, you know, these are potentially truly historic shifts that are taking place at the moment.
Didn't you tell me, Tom, the pitchfork, like I call that the pitchfork chart. So until people like decide to do a revolution, but didn't you tell me there was an amount of your budget? If it goes so much for food, then that's when people, they start like saying, what the hell's happening? There's like a percentage, right?
Yeah, I think it was something like 40% of your income that starts going to food is the typical I mean, I'm just going from memory, but that seems to be the typical kind of revolutionary protest line where people start to really, or civil unrest starts to really unfold because of those rising costs.
Wow. And yeah, okay. So I had to take a step back, guys, with gold. And like, this is just a fractal of, let's say we're repeating the whole cycle from the 70s. And I just added it here. What I wanted to show focus people is it's not the numbers and on the scale that matter. Mm-hmm. Because like some countries, they just like eventually they do a redenomination, right? They just drop zeros. France did it, Russia did it multiple times, and all the other
Zimbabwe.
Yeah, like they did it. Like I Googled it, and it's the trend of gold going upwards versus any fiat currency or like whatever your country is in, guys. Just the fact that it's going up, that's what should wake you up, guys. And this is on a log scale, so that's super scary. So this is the government killing your purchasing power. It just mm-hmm. goes up. So let's say in the 80s, they're responsible. Then you get a good decade of stabilized inflation rate, but it's still positive, right? But overall, over decades and decades and decades, they're just killing your purchasing power. Is just insane. So the lesson is, if gold's going up, just notice the angle of ascent versus your currency. So you can look at gold versus the Turkish lira. If it's going up, then you know somebody's stealing. You're getting that inflation tax right under the covers. And it's not really about the numbers, because the numbers one day they could just drop zeros off that scale. It's just the movement of it going up.
Mm-hmm. And it'll be interesting. I think it'll be interesting and telling to see what that chart actually looks like for this, let's say, this 5-year period, how steep that rate of ascent is. Because, wow. You know, considering the inflation that we've already seen, you know, over the past year and a half, and then you add to that I want to say the energy crisis that's coming, and the way that the US government is kind of treating that, I think it'll be really, that rate of ascent will be probably pretty steep. Hey,
yeah, well, Kevin's probably going to cover that like via the silver chart after I do a few. There's a whole bunch of scenarios, right? Either it's a 1970s type of scenario, is it a 2001 type of scenarios. I guess we're gonna have to wait and see. Could it be worse? Could it be like but the thing is, the momentum is telling us it's up, guys. And look, I just want to cover all these commodity charts. Look, here's the platinum chart, the 7-year rate of change. It just broke out in 1999 above the zero line, above the 7-year moving average. Look, it's just doing it again. It's about to go above the zero line. Mm-hmm. The moves in platinum just started. So you got to zoom out, guys, day traders. Like if you're like a long-term investor, a 7-year investor, if you want to ride the bulk of the bull trend, you're doing higher lows here on the monthly chart, higher lows here back in the 99 and 2003. These are like generational opportunities right now, where a new cycle is emerging. You better look up instead of looking down, right? Because a lot of the crowd, they're going to start looking here. Oh man, everybody's talking about platinum. But if you look at the chart, say, oh man, okay, this run, it's been running for 7 years. I could be topping right now. And now it's a total opposite. Everybody's scared of deflation. But this is telling you that the odds are you're going to starting a long-term meaningful uptrend.
Yeah, it's a great way to kind of visualize it there, Pat.
And also, you know, it's a reminder that, you know, don't get too bogged down in the weeds. Take your position, whether it's in platinum or gold or silver, or whether it's in the uranium miners, which are, you know, poised to doing incredibly well, you know, whichever sector, you know, the charts like this are telling you that take your position and just go relax for, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years, you know, trying to, unless you're good at it and you particularly want to stress yourself out, this is my personal view, just keep adding and add whenever you can, add on pullbacks, you know, add on weakness. Don't worry if it drops 10-20%, you know, an individual stock falling 10-20% within an overall picture that's going to see it rise by 1,000% is completely irrelevant. So this big picture view is really crucial.
This is, I think most today, everything that's traded in the stock market or in the financial world is a victim, or they react to the financial environment they're in. So if something's reacts well to low interest rates or low inflation, then that whole ecosystem is going to react positively. So, you know, that's why sometimes when crappy stocks, they go up, like, it doesn't make sense. The fundamentals say this company has no employees, it's a fraud, but it still goes up. That's because it's just born in an environment. Let's say like your kid born in Beverly Hills, even if you're a rotten apple at the core, but you're born in that environment, you'll still get the good education. You'll still get those capital flows, right? And you'll look a little bit more civilized. It's the same thing that happens for the battle between, let's say, the SPX and the gold chart. So right here, the black line is the ratio of gold versus SPX. So when the capital flows are not going to gold, the whole sector suffers. All commodities suffers. The gold miners suffer. Everybody, there's no money going in. No matter how cool your company is, no matter you have the best management, if you're in a downtrend, if gold doesn't have the gap capital flows that are going to the SPX, then it doesn't matter what type of company you are. It's going to be, you'll have the winds against you during that period. And the inverse is true. So when the capital flows are going into gold versus the SPX, for whatever reason, inflation or all that, and then you'll have the wind in your sails, and that's when getting expressions, turds will fly, or like even fraudulent companies, they'll fly. And check out the silver chart.
A rising tide lifts all boats.
Yes. And you'll see, look at this chart. I have the silver chart, which is not gold, which is not SPX, but it looks exactly like the ratio of gold to SPX. So this is telling me that gold is the key and the SPX is the other key. And when there's a shift in those keys, the gold silver ratio, the gold to SPX ratio shifts, and there's a paradigm shift that changes, then the capital flows, they go in silver, they go in platinum, they go in all, the whole sector gets that boost from that capital flows. Look, it's to perfection. And whatever guy's reasoning, what you say, manipulation or whatever, and silver in the ground, out of the ground supply, whatever you want. If you don't have the capital flows going to the in gold versus SPX, you're dead man walking. It's just going to be hard for you guys. And look at this. This is what I want to show you. So again, I'm looking at the 7-year rate of change exploding above its 7-year rate, EMA. Look, these cycles, when they start, you have a beautiful 7 years from the cross to the top. And then from the peak, before it crashes down all the way until it unwinds. And look where we are today, guys. That's why I just want to zoom this. It's just starting to cross above, guys. We're just starting. So the capital flows on the momentum, and we've seen that they're not easily overridden. Look in the 90s. The gold momentum was never able to get above its 7-year EMA of its 7-year rate of change. Never. You never had a single. So even on classical TA, you never had a clear breakout line. But on the momentum, you never had a clear breakout line either. But if we get it here, guys, we're just turning the tide. This is preemptive. Look, this led by a few months, the actual breakout on the trend line. Man, if we get a close above here, the floodgates are open for all that SPX, that tech money, all that money that's been sloshing around into all these growth stocks. It's like the train tracks, man. It just, somebody decided to turn the switch, and tech stocks are going to suffer. They won't get the capital flows needed to do new highs, and silver and friends, they're just going to have the winds in their sail, guys. It's just starting, man. It's so early. I think the fact, Kevin, that we spotted gold breaking out in 2019, we thought it'd be right now, but these things, they take time, like those capital flows, to really start shifting. And it's really close, guys. Really, really close. Here's just another viewpoint of the above chart. This is just the gold to SPX and the silver price overlaid. Same type of thing. And this was permitted. A lot of this stuff started when we got off the gold standard. Because before that, it's kind of messy. The gold to SPX ratio, gold was pegged. But really, the floodgates to all this financialization of silver and everything else. I could have brought a whole bunch of other charts where you see the copper being a perfect reflection of two other instruments that have nothing to do with copper. This was all permitted. Thank you, Mr. Richard Nixon there. Back in 71 there, or 73, that's when all these relationships there, they started appearing. Look, palladium, guys, another one. palladium is kind of a weird dog because that one has been pretty, pretty strong. Mm-hmm. But on the momentum, it's about to break out. So if I do a classical TA on the 7-year rate of change, palladium is showing that it's on the cusp of having a breakout where it could really start exploding even higher than what we think it could do, right? So it did a leg up, sideways move. It could have another leg up. So if you don't like palladium at under 3,000, maybe you'll like it more above 6,000, guys. It's insane, man. We're not stretched. Look, we're not here, guys. We're not stretched 800% rate of change. We're just coiling like that's a 12-year coil.
It's always the same, Patrick. Nobody's interested in Bitcoin when it breaks out at $10,000, but when it gets to $60,000, everybody wants it.
It's a classic Giffen good, classic definition of a Giffen good. Everybody only wants it when it's you know, when everybody is chasing it, when the momentum is already in.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the worst time. You're a victim of past success. The reputation of a stock, the fact that you're hearing about it, the fact that Michael Saylor's talking about it, it's too late, guys, because you're living in the past. The 10,000% gains, it's not you guys. You're not going to get that again. It's the guy before you that has those gains. Look at Sugar, another one. Beautiful setup, just like it had in the 90s before it did a nice bull run in the 2000s. Same type of setup. The rate of change just exploding above the zero line, above that EMA. Just sit back and enjoy the show, guys. It's like, I don't know how many other charts we could have shown there, but these things are, for a long-term investor, a position trader, you're definitely not on the wrong side of the trade right now. And unless this thing totally reverts and totally breaks down and the whole entire piece of weight of evidence starts like breaking left and right and charts start falling apart, the probability of this possible move is very high right now.
And that's what the weight of evidence is all about. It's about working out where the probabilities lie. There's never anything really that's 100% guaranteed about the future. But you can get pretty close to 100%. You know, you can at times get beyond 90%. And if you're trading and investing, then that's really what you want to be doing. You want to be trading and investing, you know, on the correct 90% analysis. Just quickly to finish off, I think the silver chart, which I can just show. So here we have the silver chart. And this really is just to give a little idea of. I just changed the view there just to show the gold chart quickly, just for a quick minute here, just to give you an idea of what would be a reasonable move in context. Again, using the 7-year rate of change indicator to show you that we've barely even begun the move yet. Mm-hmm. But looking back historically to see what the moves have been from the breakouts back in the 1970s and there leading into 1980, and again in the early 2000s up to 2011. So $6,000 gold would be entirely reasonable. I'm not saying it's going to stop at $6,000. It may well go considerably higher than that, but $6,000 is a perfectly reasonable number just to have in the back of your mind. The silver chart, I also just wanted to point out that this entire 50-year period has been one huge cup. You can view it as a cup and handle, if you like. You can see the orange-shaded cup that's about 40 years in the making, and then another 10-year cup on the right-hand side there, which is coincident with the handle. But this entire pattern, whether you view it as one very large cup or a cup and handle, as you can see there, regardless how you analyze that, It's over 40 years in the making. So this whole thing is going to lead to something pretty big and pretty special. I mean, you don't build a pattern for 40 years to just trend sideways, particularly when it's a cup and handle pattern like this. It's portending a very big, very significant, and probably historic move to the upside. And just on that, looking at the rate of change indicator, I've done some mathematics on this and looking at what we can expect for if we see the rate of change indicator move up to either the green, the yellow, the orange, or the red lines that you can see on the bottom of the chart there. Each of those lines, the green, the yellow, the orange, and the red line, mark significant highs in the rate of change indicator in the past. So if we're going to trend, and we are already above zero, if we're going to trend to the green line, then the green box is where you'd expect the price to be. So that's roughly $30 to $50 if we hit the green line, or when we hit the green line. Now, assuming we go on and hit the yellow line and then the orange line, then the price targets are $60 to $72, roughly speaking. And for the orange line, you're talking roughly $80 to somewhere near $170. So that orange line is, as you can see, where you at a minimum would expect the rate of change indicator to go in a precious metals bull run. But of course, in the late 1970s, it spiked up and hit the red line. Now, just ask yourself a question here and think about the charts that we started with right at the beginning. Are we in a position that's comparable to the 1970s? Look at those energy charts. Remember the charts that we showed you for PPI and the charts that we showed you for natural gas prices and where the oil chart is heading. And just ask yourself that one question. Is it reasonable to think, or to begin to think, that what we're about to see is comparable to the 1970s? Now, I'd argue that the answer to that is yes. And I'd also actually be tempted to argue that what we're about to see has the risk of being worse, more severe than the 1970s. So if you buy that argument, then we're looking at $433 as a minimum price for silver by the time this is all over. Boom, boom, boom. There you have it.
That's your title, Tom. Forget everything. Just put Kevin Wadsworth predicts $400 silver. That's it. Yeah. That's all you have to put. And we'll get tons of views. I'll be happy. Everybody's happy.
And a big rocket ship next to it as well.
Yeah. Kevin, do you think it would be reasonable to look at rate of change for a place to start taking profits?
Absolutely, yes. And, you know, the place to actually make the entry is just as important. So when you move above the reset line and you move above the moving average, that's your entry point. So getting in low is crucial to all of this. Mm-hmm. But yes, I mean, you could use those boxes there, and you could work out for yourself just how confident you think you are that we're going to get to the yellow box or the orange box or the yellow line and the orange line. So you can track, I'm going to keep showing this chart, and I'm going to track the rate of change indicator. Mm-hmm. So when it hits the green line, the yellow line and the orange line, anyone that is getting a little bit nervous and wants to just tuck away some of their profits can do exactly that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we're probably preaching to the choir here, right? There's a lot of our listeners that are already invested and interested in gold and silver, but this is a great way to think about, you know, the as Patrick, you always put it, the weight of evidence of where we are and the risk profile of where we are right now versus, you know, that exponential type of move that we see on that rate of change indicator.
Yeah, and you know, clearly if we bust above the orange line, then that's going to, you know, be a very clear indicator that we're going to end this with a parabolic run up. Mm-hmm. We didn't really get a parabolic run up in 2011. It didn't quite get to that kind of hysteria, you know, sort of manic sort of conclusion to the bull run. It was nice. It was a nice bull run. But, you know, at the end of the day, we ended up at the same sort of price level that we'd been at in the 1970s and 1980s. So, you know, you couldn't really describe that as being as setting a new standard for the price of silver, because it didn't. But I'm pretty sure that what we're about to see will do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you take into account, again, the in some ways, the role of gold and silver, which goes against the confidence that you have in the dollar, you know, when we start to see the dollar really slide, I think that adds again to that weight of evidence.
Yeah, that'll be confirmation, and that whole series of confirmatory pieces of evidence is what we need to have a really strong case for what we're suggesting here. You know, at the moment, you know, you could argue the dollar's going to move to the upside and gold and silver, you know, are going to turn down. But as soon as we start crossing certain thresholds, and gold makes a new quarterly defined high, silver makes its monthly defined breakout, and, you know, all of those things, they just start to stack up in favor of this roadmap.
Yeah. As chart traders, guys, the edge is we might not know the future, but we're able to establish probabilities on those possible moves. But our goal is to get you in at the low risk, high reward opportunity. So after that, yeah, taking profit, because that's what we realize is those who get in early in a timely fashion, when there's pullbacks later on, you don't lose sleep over it. But those that buy on FOMO, that buy high, they're dead man walking, because as soon as there's a 20% drawdown, they says, what am I doing? But when you buy super low, each time there's a pullback, it's a higher low, right? Later in the cycle, you're like, okay, it's fine. I'll just add on the dips.
Yeah, you can afford to wait until, you know, it retraces to the 3-year moving average. You know, so that's fine, you know, but the higher up you get, you know, if it's going to retrace to 3-year moving average, you're starting to panic. Yeah. And it's that risk reward profile, as Patrick says, you know, and as time goes by and things become more stretched, that risk reward profile starts to swing the other way. And that's, you know, that's the whole advantage of using technical analysis charts. You can literally directly read that risk reward off the chart itself.
Mm-hmm. And like you say, that helps you sleep at night. You mentioned that earlier, Kev.
Yeah, well, sleeping at night's not so easy with everything that's going on in the world at the moment. But
from an investment standpoint,
at least that part of it, yes. You're not losing sleep over your investments. But yeah, as I've said before in interviews, you know, you're not going to see me or Pat sort of jumping around in too much excitement. You know, if silver hits $300 and the world is in flames around us, you know, so, you know, we're mindful of you know, what is going on in the real world, as well as just staring at our charts all the time.
It comes back to that silver to minimum wage chart, because if silver is 300 and minimum wage is $30, that's fine. Or whatever, like super high, you know, mm-hmm. It's that ratio chart. You don't want silver outperforming minimum wage too much, or else the pitchforks come out. So silver could be 10,000 minimum wage, I don't know, 9,000, like, and the ratio is stable. Everybody's fine. It's just zeros added. But if there's a discrepancy between minimum wage, the population, and the price of silver, mm-hmm. that means that's bad. That's mm-hmm. that's when civil unrest and, you know, then we'll.
So when things start getting out of balance.
Yeah. Mm.
Excellent, guys. Well, I really appreciate you being so generous with your charts and your perspective here today. Kevin, of course, you're available on Twitter at North Star Charts, Pat at Bad Charts One, and of course, your guys' kind of teamed up website, 1+1 is 3, at northstarbadcharts.com. Guys, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you, Tom. It's an honor. Thank you.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. Nothing on this podcast should be taken as investment advice. Guests on this show are not compensated for their appearance. Listeners are urged to educate themselves and make their own decisions. Do not base any investment decisions on the information contained. To view our full disclaimer, please visit our website.